Yeah, I am no gardener. I mean, you only have to look at my yard for a second to know that. I do a few tomatoes in pots. I have some basil. There's some shamrocks that I've kept alive for some while. But I am not a gardener. Last weekend, though, I did a ton of yard work. My front area looks so much better that I got a little inspired. I actually went out shopping to buy some seeds. Went to Lowe's, Ace, and Home Depot, but I couldn't find the seeds I wanted. None of them were in stock at any of those stores. Simple, common plants I was looking for, but to no avail. I was going to buy packs of Nutsedge, Dollarweed, and Dandelion. You're looking at me funny, and I just saw one of you mouth it. You say you can't buy packs of Nutsedge and Dollarweed and Dandelion because those are weeds, not plants. But I guess I'm thinking, who gets to decide? I grant you that we call those weeds, but how are they different from the plants that you can buy seeds for? Who gets to decide? Kids all like dandelions. What if I think Dollarweed is pretty? Besides that, it's not like we've been consistent. There are several plants that we treasure now that used to be called weeds. Years ago, watercress was a weed. People used to rip it out. Now they grow it. You can definitely buy watercress seeds. Same for blackberries. Can you even imagine a fruit salad without blackberries? But they were once considered weeds. And it's geographical, too, right up to today. One of Carol and my favorite plants in all the world is the rhododendron. Makes us think immediately of our beloved Blue Ridge Mountains. In Ireland, they call rhododendron a weed. So I ask again, who gets to decide? And today's parable from Jesus also asks that very same question. Last week was the parable of the sower. This week's is usually called the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds. And it's a simple story. A landowner plants wheat, an enemy plants weeds among the crops. It's a mess. What do you do? Except that, as you might guess, our Lord isn't really talking about plants. He's talking about people. So it's even more complicated. And Jesus is describing the world as it is. In among the people who are plugging along and minding their business and trying to do their best, there are people with very weedy actions and intentions. If you watch the news or look around, you know that's true. There are folks who live a criminal way of life, helping themselves to what is yours, not theirs. There are people who are dreaming and scheming to rip you off in a text or email scam. There are people drinking and driving, recklessly endangering you and the people you love. And there are worse. There are a few who are brutally victimizing, even murdering the innocent in ways that shock the imagination. If you say that there aren't weeds in the garden, you are deluded. And I think a lot of people wonder. I've heard a lot of people ask, one way or another, why doesn't God weed the garden? Why does God allow evil to grow up around us and to grow up around the good world that he's created? And I think it is a very fair question. This parable is Jesus' answer. The inclination of the workers is just the same as ours might be. When the enemy plants the weeds, they figure the best thing to do is weed the garden. Clear the field of the twisted and unproductive so that the good plants can grow unhindered. And it's hard for that plan not to make sense. Theologians have asked from the beginning, why does God allow evil in this good world? And one of the early answers is one of the best. St. Augustine said in the 4th century what I believe to be the truth about it. He said, God has judged it better to bring good out of evil than to allow no evil to exist. God has judged it better to bring good out of evil than to allow no evil to exist. I do not always like the implications of that answer, but I value its absolute clarity. More than anything, Augustine reminds us that it is God's decision, plain and simple. The weeds will be a part of the garden as long as we live on this earth. But there is another answer also, more palatable in a way. That answer is given by the landowner of the parable. The workers suggest an immediate clean out, rip out the weeds. But the landowner is wiser. He knows, and it matters. He knows that it is hard to tell the weeds and the wheat apart. And that also is true at every level. I mean, what if you saw anyone at one of the worst moments of their life, a moment of high stress, a moment of strangling circumstance, a moment of temptation and weakness? Anyone, everyone, can sometimes look a little weedy. And God offers patience, understanding, and forgiveness to all the plants in his garden. Life is long and complicated. Every one of us has our ups and downs. God is patient. And as Augustine reminds us, even where evil persists, even where evil is obvious, God brings good things out of bad. That is how he has chosen to run the universe. Maybe the easiest way to understand this whole question is to go back to where we started. I can't buy nutsedge, dollar weed, and dandelion seeds in a pack at Ace Hardware, because a lot of somebodies over a long period of time decided that those are weeds. Intrusive, unproductive, of no real use. Besides, if I want those pesky weeds, I can find any of them in my backyard at any time. So, who gets to decide about the people of this world? You and me, even. Which ones of us are healthy and strong? Which ones of us bring enough good to the table? Which ones of us are wheat and which are weeds? God gets to decide. It's his garden. But remember, finally and importantly, that God has planted this garden, and its sole purpose is your enjoyment and delight. A little patience of your own, with others, and with yourself, will help you enjoy it all the more.